Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in support of the new African independence movement. My name is Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. also known as, better known as Brother Prophecy. And thank you for joining us every week as we discuss intellectual conversation that is relevant to our pursuit of land, independent self-government, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the whole of our community instead of just the ruling elite, the bourgeoisie, the ruling class. So, as you should know by now, we like to start the show by shining the spotlight on an individual, an organization, or an event that is significant in the struggle for new African independence, in our struggle here in the wilderness of North America. And today, we want to talk about a piece of history that not many of our people know about, something that has happened to our ancestors that has been covered up and just not been revealed in the history books. And this is actual concentration camps in America that have housed African people, our ancestors. Now, most of the time, when you think of the term concentration camp, we think of the Nazi Germany, World War II, Hitler, and Jewish, the so-called Jewish Holocaust. But we very rarely discuss the Holocaust that African people here in America are still enduring to this very day. So we want to talk about something that is known as the Devil's Punch Bowl. Now, after the Civil War, in Natchez, Mississippi. Now, this is not too far from where we are right now in Memphis, Tennessee. But in Natchez, Mississippi, when the enslaved Africans were freed from this system of chattel slavery, there was an explosion in the African population in Natchez, Mississippi. And the local whites in the city were not particularly happy about this development. So what end up happening was Union soldiers. These are the people who so-called fought for the freedom of African people, for the enslaved African people. Union soldiers began to recapture African men and re-enslave them, and their families were placed into concentration camps. And in these concentration camps, they were denied the basic resources that they needed to survive. So in essence, you had tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters and children, you know, and their children left in these concentration camps to die. And there are countless of numbers of our brothers and sisters who perished under these insane, inhumane conditions. I have a clip that I want to play that will analyze this and give you more insight on the Devil's Punch Bowl. This happened in Natchez, Mississippi, concentration camps in America.
This is WJTV News Channel 12 at 6.
Concentration camps. People mostly associate the term with Nazi Germany, but historians say it's true. They also existed in America. During the Civil War, authorities in Natchez, Mississippi forced tens of thousands of freed slaves into camps, built in what's known as the Devil's Punch Bowl. Jacob Kittlestadt explores this forgotten history this Mystery Monday.
Untouched fruit falls to the ground near the banks of the Mississippi River.
They talk about there's the most beautiful wild peach groves down in the Punch Bowl.
And researcher Paula Westbrook says, like a peach, the area known as the Devil's Punch Bowl has a pit, a mass grave from the 1860s, Historians estimate that in 1 year, up to 20,000 freed slaves died in contraband camps below these bluffs.
When the slaves were released from the plantations during the occupation, they overran Natchez, and the population went from about 10,000 to 120,000 overnight.
So they decided to build an encampment for them at Devil's Punch Bowl, which they walled off and wouldn't let them out.
Don Estes is the former director of the Natchez City Cemetery.
I just put my own tombstone right there. You see Estes?
Learning history's been his life. He says Union troops ordered recaptured black men to perform hard labor.
Straight down, right here.
While women and children were all but left to die in the three Punch Bowl prisons.
Disease broke out among them, smallpox being the main one, and thousands died. They were begging to get out, turn me loose and I'll go home back to the plantation, anywhere but there. But they wouldn't let them out.
The Union Army did not allow them to remove the bodies from the camp. They just gave them shovels and said, bury them where they drop.
And I'd really like to show you more of this terrain, but it's just too thick with greenery. These bluffs are also straight down, so not only is it dangerous to navigate, it's still very mysterious back there.
It's a bed of alligators and snakes. It would take Indiana Jones to get back in there at this point.
Then you come on up, washing away bluffs, and at the Devil's Punch Bowl that has so many people that no one knows how they got killed or when, and they're still down there, wasted.
And even to this day, they talk about wild peach trees that come up down there, but no one in Natchez will eat them because they know what the fertilizer was.
Exploring the unexplained on Mystery Monday, Jacob Kittlestead, WJTV News Channel 12.
And historians say even now people might discover old skeletal remains after flooding on the Mississippi, but being on the Natchez Trace, sometimes it's difficult to tell which century those bones are from.
And there you have it, the Devil's Punch Bowls, concentration camps right here in America. In fact, Natchez, Mississippi, where tens of thousands of our ancestors were left to die. And this story has not been told. It has been looked over by historians and history books. Our ancestors have been disrespected and never given the proper honor that they have deserved. And this was done by Union soldiers. The so-called soldiers who fought on the behalf of our people, who helped in free our people from the bondage of chattel slavery. So on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to shine the spotlight on an event. Concentration camps right here in America, right in Natchez, Mississippi, that housed our African ancestors after they were so-called freed from this system of chattel slavery. So that's what we want to shine the spotlight on today. And that leads us to our topic for today, because it seems like ever since we've been in this country, ever since we've been under the system of chattel slavery, we have been fighting, we have been struggling, we have been raging, advocating, trying to gain this elusive thing called freedom. We went through the enslavement, chattel slavery, fought in a civil war, had insurrections, slave rebellions, Nat Turner, Denmark Bates, the Gay Little Prosser, fought the Seminole Wars, the Gullah Wars, in order to gain freedom. But yet, after all of that, it seemed that we did not gain our freedom. We fought through segregation, Jim Crow, hundreds of years of lynchings, but yet we still did not gain true freedom. We went through a civil rights movement in the 60s, Black Power movement, riots, protests, false imprisonment, attacked by the counterintelligence program, the Black Power movement. But yet, we still have not gained true freedom. In the 80s, we were attacked by the CIA by flooding our neighborhoods with crack cocaine. The creation of HIV/AIDS, we have targeted African people for the depopulation of our people, explosion of mass incarceration with the unfair targeting of our people with the justice system. And we've went through all of these things, and yet we are still not free. And even today, we are still feeling the effects of this mass incarceration, which is a legalized slave system according to the 13th Amendment. And we still battle police brutalities, the murder of our people, the poisoning of our communities, of the water supply, which is happening all over America, dumping of chemicals in our neighborhoods, in our communities, the attack on the school system, the prison, prison pipeline. All of these things are going on. And we are still struggling for freedom. So that's what we want to get into today. How can we gain true freedom? First of all, what is true freedom? And how can we get it? I mean, a lot of people say, well, you know, hey, brother, man, why are you still talking about that? We were freed in 1863 with the Emancipation Proclamation. But if you look at that word emancipation, along with meaning to set free or to liberate, it also means to transfer ownership from one party to another. So in essence, during a period of enslavement, what happened to our people is ownership was taken from the individual slave owners and given to the state. See, chattel slavery, see, we were freed, but we were only freed from a system of chattel slavery. And then we were enslaved by another system. And as we fought against that system, we were enslaved by another system. And today, we are still enslaved by a variation of really the same system that started it out, which was the chattel slavery. See, what we have today under monopoly capitalism is simply an evolution from chattel slavery. It's still a system that is based on the exploitation of man by man for the purpose of gaining maximum profit to the ruling elite. So this is what we got to deal with today. How can we break the chains of enslavement? When one of the first things we have to do is we have to define what freedom is properly. We have to define ourselves properly, because the same thing that is enslaving us, the same thing that is oppressing us, the same thing that is exploiting our people here in America is exploiting people of color, really people all over the world, all people all over the world. It is a global exploitation. It is a global oppression. So we have to define ourselves right here in America as a people in a way that aligns ourselves with this global struggle against this global system of capitalism, imperialism, and colonialism. So in order to do that, we have to define ourselves as a nation. As long as we're just defining ourselves as African Americans, people who are under the umbrella of the United States government, people who are ruled by the same people who have benefited from our collective oppression, as long as we are defining ourselves in that manner, then we cannot gain freedom. We cannot even align ourselves with the struggle against the system of oppression, not the global system of oppression. Our issues in America are considered to be a domestic dispute, a domestic problem. So therefore, the UN and the international community can't interfere on our behalf because they're domestic issues. We're not even recognized as a real people. We have been deprived of a nationality, which according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that is something we cannot be deprived of. And I'm going to get into a lot of this, a lot more, but I have my brother on the line, Brother Kakaye, and I want to definitely get his input on this subject. So my brother Kakaye, let me make sure you own and popping.
I am, yeah.
Okay, you know, there you go, brother.
Yes, well, you know, it's interesting that you start off the program by educating our citizens. You know, people have to understand what we mean by freedom. And, you know, like you said, we have to have nationality. We have to have a nation. You know, and there's other aspects. You have to have land. You have to be able to have control of self-determination, and you have to be able to create your own economic system. And when we start recognizing that these are some of the main components of determining our independence, our sovereignty, our nation, then we begin to focus on solutions that will help us achieve the goal of true freedom. You know, we're talking about, and that was a great, you know, excerpt to put on about the devil's role. And you know what? This has gone on to us throughout. And we have to recognize that when we decide to put things in perspective by putting things in historical context, there's no confusion on what the solution is. There's no confusion whatsoever. We've been dealing with these folks for many years, and because we have been dealing with these folks, if we go through history, we can determine the right measures to take in order to obtain our independence and our freedom. We have to understand and recognize that we can't come up with a solution to any problem if we don't go to its origins. And that requires us to know our history. It's important to know our history. It's important to know the things that have been done to us and what direction and what decisions to take now in the future to not only curtail any future events as drastic as those in the past, but make sure we eliminate them from being able to happen to us in the future. And so because of that, that's why we call ourselves New Africans, because that is what we're talking about, having our own self-determination, determining who we are, naming ourselves. And that's who we are. And, you know, brother, I know I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but we need to all recognize that as New Africans, having our own nation, our own land, our own self-determination, our own economic system. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Kakaiyi. Excellent words, and you brought up some very important things that I actually wanted to touch on. And you kind of hit it home, knocked it home for me. One of the first things we have to do, as well as defining ourselves as a nation of people, is we have to define what freedom actually is. We have to define freedom in concrete terms. A lot of times, we confuse freedom with the want or the need to feel accepted by white people, by European people. We think, well, if white people treat us better, if white people accept us as equals, then that is actually freedom, but it's not. And we at the Republic of New Africa, we define freedom in four concrete ways. First, land. The foundation of freedom is land. In order to be free, you must have land. There is no way for you to gain freedom unless you have a land mass in which you control, not just own, but control. It's just like if my son says, hey, Dad, I want equality with you. I want to be equal to you. But yet he still lives in my home, and I control all of the things that he needs to survive. I control his food source. I control his economic source. I control everything that he needs to survive. Without me, he does not survive. But yet he wants to be equal to me. He wants equality with me. You know, the best that he can hope for is that I gain him certain freedoms. He can be like, okay, I gave you certain freedoms. You can have some freedoms. You need to be home by this particular time. And he might not like it. He can protest. He can advocate. And he can say, no, well, okay, no, I need some reform. You know, instead of let me get home at 12, let me get home at 12:30. Okay. So you can gain freedom, a certain amount of freedoms that the owners of the land will grant you, and you can exercise these freedoms up until a point. And that point is to whenever those people who are the owners, those people who are the elite, you know, are dissatisfied with what you're actually doing. And once you reach that point, then you get attacked. So you have to have land in order to gain freedom. The second thing that you must have is independence. You have to gain independence. You can't be free unless you have independence. As long as there are another people, someone else controls your economic system, political system, social systems, justice system, all of the systems that govern your very lives, as long as they are controlled by people who have historically benefited from your exploitation, you cannot have freedom. The third thing you need is self-government. You need the ability to create for yourself, to determine for yourself how this system, how your land is to be governed. How the systems, what type of systems, what are the nature of the systems that you will bring into existence in order to govern yourself. And the fourth thing you need is you need the establishment of an economic system that benefits the people. And this is a very important one because, see, right now, our economic system, which is monopoly capitalism, is an evolution of the chattel slavery, and it is designed to exploit people. So if we gain our independence, have our own land, and have self-government, nationhood, if we do that and we set up this same type of system, this same capitalist system, then what we do is we become the oppressors instead of the oppressed, and we will oppress our same people, you know, our people. We just replace a white slave master with a black one, and you still don't have freedom. So these four concrete things, land, independence, self-government, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the whole, which is called scientific socialism. These are the things that we need in order to gain freedom. And time is going so fast, but I definitely want to make sure I see that I have my sister, Iodeli, on the line, I believe. Yes, I have my sister, Iodeli, on the line. Let me get her through my computer system. There you go. Sister Iodeli, are you there?
Free the land.
Mama, hi, yo. Free the land. I am my will. Yes, sir. Free the land. Yes, ma'am. Free the land. So what do you think? What are your thoughts on how can we gain freedom? What is freedom, and how can we gain it?
Well, we have a certain group of people here in America that believe that we were free, called emancipated, January 1st, 1863. That was supposed to be our emancipation date. It was signed around September 1862. However, when you talk about freedom, you're talking about we're talking about human rights. We're talking about the ability to define ourselves, the ability to name ourselves, the ability to say to the world, because of our historical reality, we never had the chance to actually say that yes, this is what we want for ourselves, because we were released from chattel slavery. And we want to do this. We want to live in this particular region. We want to have this as our education system. We weren't given that opportunity. We were given the illusion that now that we are free, you can participate in every sector of society. Well, everybody knows that wasn't true, because we went into a state of Jim Crow. We went into a state of segregation. We have laws that are still on the books that are totally against African people who were once enslaved in this country. So when we talk about freedom, it's just as you and Brother Kakai were saying before, we have to be able to understand that we can name ourselves, we able to identify whether or not we want to be a part of a system that perpetually disables us, perpetually enslaves us, and is perpetually actually eliminating us through food, diet, water, and just social pressure. All of that combines to make an ill society. It creates the condition of man aggressing upon man, and oftentimes we aggress upon each other because we have a very skewed view of who we are as a people in this country, how we got here, what we're supposed to do, and that's by design. Because if you are educating your people on the historical realities of why you're here, what happened, your role in the upliftment, in the building, because our people built this empire off the back of 400 years, no pay, every day except every other Sunday. You will see all the economic advantages that this system enjoyed while we were left as an African people to suffer, to be given the worst of the worst. And yet, we've persevered. We are still producing our children. We still have geniuses among us. However, those geniuses are being used for the perpetuation of capitalism and socialism. It's not to the service of the race. It's not to the service of our community. When our communities were once segregated, we had that ability to have our own companies, to build our own, to make our own dolls, to have restaurants, to have hotels, because we were servicing ourselves. And when you take it in a perspective, well, let us build these things on our own land. Well, look what happened with Rosewood. Look what happened with Black Oklahoma, that Wall Street. So part of our fight, part of the struggle for freedom is to be able to educate our children, educate ourselves even, do the work, do the study, to know exactly our position in this country and how it's being manifest. We are the people who are on the bottom of a social echelon. We have geniuses among us. They're part of the imperialistic system. They're being put to the service of. They're no longer being told that, oh, when you gain this knowledge, come back to the community and be of service. Build your own business. Build your own factories. No, we're being told now through our universities, colleges, and schools, the whole movement is make sure you get a job, make sure you get paid. And at the end of the day, there is not enough jobs for black people in America. If we do not create our own jobs, create our own economic system, start doing businesses with one another, educating one another, figuring out how we can stop being unhealthy in a society that is producing GMOs and so on and so forth and bad eating practices, we're going to surely be suffering even more. And I do say suffering because our people are suffering in the midst of all the wealth that they claim that America has. We're not enjoying. African people are not enjoying that wealth. So when we talk about freedom, we need to think concretely. There is a document that says, and it was developed in 1968, we have declared ourselves free and independent. We have a representative government. It is called the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. We have a plan. We have a strategy. We have ways we want to set up our communities. We have a system in which we will do business with one another. We will build on that land, be more creative and more in harmony with the earth on that land, eat better on that land, have our water processed in a different way using our science and our scientists. So we have a plan for all citizens of the Republic of New Africa. We need the citizens of the Republic of New Africa to now become conscious citizens and begin to work and plan and use science and math to build our nation. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. Well said. And you really knocked it out of the ballpark with what you just said, because if you look at our people, we are some of the most talented people, some of the smartest people, some of the brightest, some genius of our people, you know, and exists right here within our community. We have actually everything we need to survive. But the problem is we are under a system where all of our talents, all of our skills, all of our geniuses is going to support a system that has exploited us and benefits from our exploitation, a system that oppresses us. So we have to, one of the first things we have to do is we have to find a way in order to use the resources, the first resource we have, which is ourselves, our talents, our skills, to benefit our people. And that can only be accomplished if we gain control. We have to gain control. And as you said earlier, in 1968, 500 leaders in the New African community, which is a black community, met in Detroit, Michigan, and they established the Republic of New Africa, the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa, wrote a Declaration of Independence, wrote the Code of Emoja, which is the Constitution, set out plans and blueprints on how to create independent territories in which we can control, down to how much it would cost, what you need, all of the institutions that you have to set up. The plans are still in existence today. All we have to do is go back, pick them up, update them, and put them into practice. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to create something new. We don't have to. It's not that complicated. I mean, as Brother Malcolm told us, so you want to get yourself right, then you look all over the world at people who are in similar situations that you are in. And you look at how they got themselves right. And then you adopt those things that are relevant to your situation, and you do the same and get yourself right. And if you look at the people who are globally fighting against this system of global oppression, white supremacy, and white supremacy, you will notice, you will see that that people are struggling for their independence. They're struggling for true freedom. They're struggling for nationhood. And we're just about out of time. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, listening every week as we discuss topics that are relevant to the New African Independence Movement. Join us next Sunday. I am Brother Yera Amati. Thanks for all of the guests. Thanks for everybody who's listening in. Free the land, brothers and sisters. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
Affirmative justice. Affirmative justice. Y'all gave us the right to carry these. This means I don't have any felonies. This means I went the right way. This means I did what y'all did to do the same thing that y'all do every day and carry this. This is what y'all do every day and carry this. And this is what y'all do to us when y'all give us the right to do this. Man, come on, man. Y'all setting us up, man. Y'all ain't right, man. Y'all think we ain't catching on. Y'all setting us up, man. Y'all gave us the right to carry a gun like y'all, and y'all don't treat us the same way as y'all do when y'all carry guns. We the criminals with the guns now. Now we all the criminals with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the same right y'all do, the right to bear arms. We have our constitutional rights set. We don't have any constitutional rights now whatsoever because of the color of our skin.